What's my horse's handicap?
The fact that you're backing him.
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday Postcast. I'm Maddie Clell, joined in the studio by Robbie Wilders. Postcast regular these days, Robbie. Very comfortable in that seat, aren't you?
Certainly am, yeah. It's good to be back. A lot to chew over.
So. Yes, certainly. We have Mark Boylan as well. He's back on the Postcast, as well as Binners, our old faithful from Paddy Power. We've got plenty to look back on. As Robbie said, let's start off with the highlight of the weekend, the July Cup. Then 10 sovereigns bolting up. He's behind us on the screen there. Could you see it coming, Robbie? There was a big gamble beforehand.
Yeah, I was really surprised by the sheer weight of money behind this horse. He had questions to answer after the Commonwealth Cup run, but I think now, looking back, we can say the return to a quicker track on better ground has tilted in his favour as opposed to advertise. Sort of reminded me of US Navy Flag last year. He was campaigned as a miler, ran in the Irish Guineas and St James's Palace, came back down in trip, won emphatically. Really smart performance. Yeah, I wouldn't have seen it coming. It'd be interesting when they all meet again in the Haydock Sprint Cup and three-year-olds filled the first five places, which is very interesting.
Yeah, it is indeed. I was kind of frustrated because they said, oh, we weren't happy with him ahead of the Commonwealth Cup. And that just frustrated me a little bit. I was like, well, why didn't you tell us? Because he's obviously a very, very good horse. Smart two-year-old, of course, and he proved it. How high do you think he can fly now?
Will he be able to replicate that performance again? You know, you'd like to think so. Haydock in the Sprint Cup are probably the next target. That can get turned into a bit of a bog, though. And when it got a bit soft at Ascot, he kind of got found out on that stiff finish. So I wouldn't be 100% sure he's going to win another Group 1, but this was his day in the sun, and now he'll certainly be a sire for Ballydoyle.
Yeah, a bit of a funny result, really, with the likes of Dream of Dreams and Kate Byron finishing so far back. Mark, he rated very highly with the stats guys and the Racing Post ratings. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought this was deadly, Maddie. Really impressed by him. And I know you mentioned there that they've now expressed they weren't entirely satisfied before the Commonwealth Cup, but he still sent off evens in the day. They were still confident in some way or shape or form, but I thought this was from the top drawer, to be honest. And I'd be a little bit more positive about him going forward now than Robbie. I think even the Nunthorpe could be a race that he could take a real crack at. Obviously, Aidan has let us know afterwards that the Ballydoyle sectional timings definitely worked down there. He was saying that he was breaking 11 seconds for four consecutive furlongs, which is that's serious stuff. Not that I'd be a major man for expertise in that department, but it's impressive whatever way you look at it. I'd be looking forward to seeing him over five. I'd love to see him in Batash Lockhorns. I think it'll be a real, real clash. Whereas if he goes to Haydock occasionally, he can get a bog. I just don't think that'll bring out the best in him. I didn't see this entirely coming, to be honest. I could see the case for it, but I think the big thing is Aidan O'Brien's genius with mentally getting inside this horse again. He trained him to be a miler for the Guineas. It took him a run then just to get back and learn what the game was all about again in terms of sprinting. It was kind of noted before Ascot that maybe he didn't strike you as a total sprintery type mentally, but geez, he was on form here. He blitzed him. I thought it was brilliant. Now I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, you mentioned Aidan O'Brien, you know, towing out the party line with those 11-second furlongs and things like that. He likes to do that, doesn't he? He's certainly got a sire prospect in 10 sovereigns. I'm with you. I think the Nunthorpe would be the better place to see him as opposed to maybe Haydock, but we'll see how that pans out. Of course, plenty of options for him. Binners, have you got him priced up for any future targets?
We certainly have, Maddie, yeah. I was doing Radio Cambridgeshire during the afternoon at the July course on Saturday, my local track, and for once I got it right. The money that came for 10 sovereigns, I suggested that he must have done a beautiful piece of work at home, and that it sounds like he did. We make him 2-1 favourite for the Haydock Sprint Cup from 10-1, Maddie, but not much difference for the Nunthorpe over a furlong less. That one 9-4 favourite from 20-1, so he's got a serious chance in both, according to the bookmakers.
Okay, the other Group 1 on the July course was, of course, the Falmouth Stakes, which went the way of Voracious under Oisin Murphy. It was all about the ride for me, this one, Robbie. Bit of a muddling race, bit frustrating, but Murphy is, you know, heir to be champion one day, isn't he? And he proved
it. Yeah, really good ride. Bagged that rail, which proved crucial. I think it was one of the weakest Falmouths we've seen in recent years. It was kind of surprising more horses weren't entered for it. I thought Willie Haggis held all the aces with Beshear and One Master, but as you say, yeah, it was Voracious was benefited from an enterprising ride. Kind of gave up a bit on her actually because she was really smart at three. On her third run, she was third to Alpha Centauri in the Coronation. She then followed up on her fourth run, third to Wild Illusion in the Nassau Stakes. But this season, she's been a bit underwhelming. And yet another example of how Stout can just take his time and just get that Group 1 for fillies like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's plenty of better fillies who haven't won Group 1s. I thought One Master was a shade unlucky with how the race panned out. She's ran such a good race with Queen Anne, didn't she?
Yeah, that was the best form in the book, so I thought she'd take quite a bit of beating. Maybe back down to 7 furlongs might be seen to best effect, and she could take a little bit of stopping at something like the Prix de la Forêt later in the season.
Yeah, won that race already, hasn't she, I think?
She won it last year, yes.
Yeah, certainly a target that should suit. Mark, what did you think of Voracious? Would she be on your radar for anything in the future?
I'd be thinking this similar to yourself, Maddie. I thought O'Sheen was an absolute masterclass of a ride here, and in my opinion, he is absolutely top draw. He's going to be the next Ryan Moore. If he isn't already there, he's going to be a name we're going to hear in for years and years to come. He's out of this world, in my opinion. I thought it was a lovely performance. But tactics were the key to it. For me, One Master is a real 7 furlong filly, and as Robbie's mentioned there, she has Foray written all over her. Real nice. You're just limited where you can go with them, because there's only 1 7 furlong Group 1 between now and the end of the year for her. So, you know, and it is the Foray, so, you know, it's limited what she can do. For me, she got there to win a race, and she couldn't see it out in the final furlong. Based compared to a horse who had been ridden very, very economically in front and had enough to hold her off. I'm getting disappointed with I Can Fly, though, in third. She's just not quite living up to what I thought she would be after what she did at Leopardstown last year. She's proven expensive to follow, and I don't know how much more the Bank of Boylan can keep investing in her, because it's taking an effect on everything.
I like that, the Bank of Boylan. We'll find out where your money's...
It's not a very big bank, I can assure you. That's why it's a concern.
We'll find out where your money's going later this week, later on in the podcast. Binner's Voracious now, where could we see her next? Was the matron mentioned, anything like that? I'm sure there's lots of these races, maybe the Sun Chariot, often a stepping stone.
Yeah, maybe the matron, Maddie. The race she is in that we've got priced up is the Sussex Stakes at Goodwood. Unlike 10 Sovereigns, though, hasn't made too much of a ripple into the market. She's 20 from 33 for the Sussex Stakes in a market where King of Comedy and Too Darn Hot are vying for favouritism at 9-4 and 5-2 respectively.
Yeah, that's interesting. As you say, Stout does tend to get improvement from these horses, but I wouldn't think she'd be quite up to that, would you?
Probably not, no. The way she finished her race, I wouldn't be surprised if she could have gone from the Nassau or up in Trip, to be honest. Again, she obviously ran in that last year. But no, I'd certainly have other horses. The John Gosnook's told all the aces in that Sussex Stakes at the moment.
Okay, we found out plenty about the juveniles last week. Royal Lytham, of course, won the July Stakes raffle prize, was pretty impressive. And Mystery Power looked a smart horse as well. What would have been, actually, Mark, I'll go to you next. We'll mix it up a little bit. What would have been your pick of the performances from the 2-year-olds?
Yeah, I really liked Royal Lytham, Maddie. I've been a fan of the horse since he won Navan. But, you know, actually, there's one point, actually, I jotted down here beforehand. Aidan O'Brien did a stable tour with Tony O'Hare at the start of the year. And, you know, you get these mentions of 2-year-olds to keep an eye out for. But I was just looking back at it. Royal Lytham, he was originally called Shadow Creek here, and he's since gone on to do what he's done. That was the first name on the list. Tango has won her maiden at Navan, second in a good car of maiden, running Group 2s and 3s. Arizona was the next one he mentioned. King Neptune won first time out, has been second in 2 listed races. Pistoletto is 2 from 2. Fort Myers won first time out, fourth in the Coventry, third in the Railway. All of them have done pretty outstanding things. The only black sheep of the group so far is Ohio State. They're out of Misty for me, the US Navy flag relation. And I wouldn't be surprised if they put blinkers on. And that really sparked up US Navy flag, who was a little bit disappointing at the start. Not quite as disappointing as this dad, but Roy Lytham is a serious one to contend with. But I just thought, looking back on it, wasn't it quite a real mark your card for Maiden in a stable tour sense. I'll definitely be taking a closer look at it next season when he does it with Tony. But, and also it was worth noting as well that in a piece Richard Forrest did with Aidan, a really good interview, we got kind of on the record that Dunica O'Brien is now training 25 back in juveniles at David Watchman's yard, and he does 2 lots in Ballydoyle himself and then heads on to train the rest in David Watchman's. So it's interesting, that whole 2-year-old scene in Ballydoyle. It's a very, very, you know, it's a rich one at the moment, and you'd have to look forward to what's coming ahead.
Yeah, I must admit, plenty of plugs there for our content, so you're certainly doing your job well there, Mark. But that Aidan O'Brien interview, I don't know if you've read it yet, Robbie, but absolutely brilliant. He got quite philosophical and it got quite deep at one stage. It was really interesting to hear sort of him go into more detail about racing and just life in general. So if you haven't had a look at that, make sure you do so. 2-year-olds for you, Raw Lytham.
Yeah, I like that performance. He was a bit unlucky in the Coventry.
All the buzz was about Visionari, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, you're not going to give up on him at all. That was only his second start. He obviously won the same maiden that Calix won, probably just as impressively as well. More to come from him. Quite impressed by, actually, Raffle Prize in the Cherry Hit and reversing form of Daiyi. Did really well to give away a £3 penalty on the Friday, breaking the track record. I know they've revised it since 2017, but that was a good performance. Rapidly improving Mark Johnston filly. She's by Slade Power. They're talking about the Guineas next year, but I wouldn't be 100% sure she'll get the mile, but Slade Power did show his best form as a 4- and 5-year-old, so she should be training on, and she's definitely among the best juveniles we've seen, certainly fillies.
Yeah, I'd be with you on that one. I think maybe she strikes me as a bit of a sprinter, but who knows, I could yet be proved wrong. Binners, I mentioned him just a moment ago, but no one's mentioned him yet. Mystery Power, suppose there's some sort of classic quotes about him next year as well?
Absolutely, Maddie. Yeah, Mystery Power for the King Power Racing. That one's a 20-1 shot. I fancy Ropey Guest in that, the outside of the field, at 25-1 in. And he ran an absolute blinder for George Margeson, one to keep an eye out for in the future. Your Royal Lytham is slightly less offensive by the bookies for the 2,000 guineas, 25-1. As far as the raffle prize goes, we've got that one in the Commonwealth Cup of 14-1 second favourite in a market headed by Visionari, but I certainly wouldn't be backing Visionari. I think Mark Johnston's going to run him over 7 furlongs at Goodwood next time, so raffle prize is well up there for the Commonwealth Cup market.
Yeah, I think Visionari improvement could come when stepped up in trip. Bin, as you mentioned there, Mystery Power and the King Power Racing outfit, and that gives us a good avenue to talk about poor old Beat the Bank, who we unfortunately lost after he so gutsily won the Summer Mile at Ascot. Really, really sad moment, Robbie. I mean, I sort of watched the last bit of the race on my phone, and unfortunately you could see it happen. And when I heard the news, I was just absolutely gutted, because he was a really likeable horse, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. You could tell something was amiss when he crossed the line. I didn't think that it was going to be fatal, but unfortunately, obviously was. Brilliant horse. He's probably the real catalyst for King Power's interest in the sport. Won 5 Group 2s. Quite unlucky not to win the Queen Anne as well. He deserved the Group 1 for the outstanding career he had. It's one of those things. Giving £3 away again, such a good performance. Holding off Zaki is really impressive. But this is a part of racing and something that we're just going to have to stomach, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it certainly is, Mark. But it's never easy, is it? Especially when you lose a horse that's as tough and as talented as him. Obviously, it doesn't matter what level it is. If you lose a horse, it's very, very sad. But he seems to have grown quite a following, old Beat the Bank.
Ah, yeah, it's an awful shame, and especially when you see one go the way he did. I thought he was beaten, and he dug in game. Like, he really pulled it out of the fire. And then for what happened to transpire is really unfortunate. As well, just to mention Darren Bunyan on the Curragh, he initially had him before he crossed the water, and he meant an awful lot to plenty of people, as does any horse. But unfortunately, it's part and parcel of the game. But he'll have many fond memories for those that enjoyed him.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Seen some of those come out on social media and the likes already. York, Newmarket, we've sort of covered Newmarket mainly, but there was, as I mentioned, action at York. We had Copper Knight, Red Verdant, Escobar, brilliant Jamie Spencer ride, that wasn't it, and Pivwan winning that big handicap there. Any sort of eye catchers from those races, Robbie, or like I said, the rest of July meeting?
Yeah, York, the Silver Cup was a pretty good race, wasn't it? Red Verdant sprung a bit of a surprise at 20-1. Gold Mount, who had the form in the Grand Cup Stakes of Raheen House, he's done well to hold off those two. The way Gold Mount was rousted along throughout, and he almost got there at the end, suggested that another couple of furlongs, and I know he's going to be aimed at the Melbourne Cup, he'd be a big player in that, I'd say. Ian Williams, excellent with new recruits. That looked quite a good race, and for me, he's one of the main horses to take out of the weekend.
Yeah, I am a big fan of Gold Mount. Got to admit, he really struck a chord with me out when I was racing in Hong Kong. Not a very big horse, so potentially a concern if he goes for the Melbourne Cup. He might have a bit of weight, but really likeable performer, I'd say. And I'm with you on that one. I think he's got a great chance in the Melbourne Cup. I won't go to Binners straight away because that's a bit out of the blue, but we'll see what price we can get. Mark, what else did you fancy going forward from this weekend? What entered your notebook?
Yeah, just one on Thursday evening at Leopardstown. That Raphael, I'd say now this guy is a bit of a rogue, but he has plenty of ability. And just wherever he goes next, it'll be worth keeping him on side, I think. I tip my hat to Peregrine Run as well. What a horse, like a homebred there. He's won five in a row now, won over hurdles again. That was his 15th win in 36 starts. You know, fair play to Peter Fahey and the team. They just really, really turned him into a winning machine. I know he could go to the Galway Plate now. It'd be a tough ask. He'd probably want a bit of quicker ground than generally you get down Galway, but hats off to him. Just an eye catcher. I was racing at Limerick on Saturday, and the Galway Plate trial, often now, to be honest, it's not really much of an interest from a Galway Plate point of view. More for the Galway Blazers, it can be a pointer. But I thought Miss Sassy ran a lovely race. She came home real nice from behind. Nothing got involved from behind. Davy Russell said afterwards that they went slow in front. So considering where she was positioned and the ground that she made up to finish off nicely, I thought she was one for the notebook. Now, if she turned up in something like the Blazers or Anton at Galway, I'd be very interested in her, Paul Nolan's Miss Sassy.
Okay, thanks very much, Mark. There's your notebook full then. Binners, can I get back to you on that Melbourne Cup price on Goldmount now?
You certainly can, yeah. Goldmount is 25 from 33 for the race that stops the nation. Maddie Redverdon, who actually won the race at York, that one's that one is 33 from 100. He's also in the £1 million EBA, 20 from 33 for that one. But that race looks a good informative trial for some of these big staying races later in the season.
It certainly does. Now, if there was any race over the weekend that was a trial for big autumn targets, it was probably the Grand Prix de Paris won by Japan, his first Group 1. Robbie, we covered it in quite some depth and watched the race, and ultimately, I think we both agreed it was a cosy success. He probably wasn't sort of fully 100% tuned up for it, maybe not done loads of work since Royal Ascot, but he looks a really, really smart horse.
Yeah, he does. He was entitled to win it, obviously. He was sent our 2-5 favourite in the end. If you read the winning distance, you'd have thought maybe it was not a comprehensive victory, but he was always doing enough, wasn't he? Did what he needed to do. Cool more sense. It was soft Group 1 and they've got the top-level victory in the bag. Yeah, he's obviously had a slightly hampered campaign. He was rushed to get to the Derby in time after a minor setback before the Dante. If that hadn't have taken shape, then surely he'd have won the Derby from what we've seen. He was so good at Royal Ascot. I do think he's Ballydore's best middle distance colt. They're talking about giving him a break now and then warming up in the Irish Champion Stakes for an arc tilt. 1 mile 2 would probably be a bit sharp for him, but I think this could be the horse to really put up to enable in her arc repeat bid.
Yeah. You did your analysis after the race, so make sure you catch that online if you want to hear Robbie's thoughts on the Grand Prix de Paris. Mark, I mean, often we have our Irish representatives on this show and they try and give us little bits and bobs of information and ins at Ballydore, trying to guess what's going to happen. What did you think of Japan's run?
Jeez, if you're looking for ins at Ballydore, I'm not the man, unfortunately. I haven't got that sort of information. No, Lord, I thought this is very good. Very impressed by him. Now, to be fair, this shouldn't have pressed his buttons, really. This was a very weak Group 1, in my opinion, and there's definitely greater tests that lie ahead. But I probably could just see in that final half furlong, just the rushed campaign, the hard early half of the season, just catching up with him slightly. And for me, I wouldn't be too downbeat about him trying 10 furlongs. I'm looking forward to the Irish Champion Stakes. I think he has got plenty of gears. You know, like a mile and a half, stronger a mile and a half, he's seen it out grand in the Epsom Derby, but I could just see him coming to life in a Saxon Warrior type of way, and I don't really see another Roaring Lion catching him at Leopardstown. He's definitely, in my opinion, he is definitely the best 3-year-old in Ballydoyle, and I think there's the vibes after he won at Royal Ascot would suggest that they might think similar. No, I'm very pleased with it now, and Aidan, it's great for him to have one. I hope he does stick to his word and give the horse the break, because we saw Magical initially, he had said after the car we'll give it a break, and he persisted and kept going at Ascot and then again at Sandown. So I hope we do get a nice break into the horse, and God, I can't wait for him. I really hope he rocks up in Paris in the autumn. It would be brilliant.
Binners, what price is he for the arc now?
He's 9-1 third favourite, Maddie, between Enable at 6-2, heads the market at 6-4, going for a third victory. Sox Arse is 7-1, and behind Japan in the market, Crystal Ocean at 10 and Magical at 14. But just a quick word to listeners about a couple of you have mentioned the Irish Champion Stakes might not show up there, could go for the trial in Paris instead, the pre-Neil.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so obviously lots of options for Japan, as you'd expect with the Ballydoll horse. Robbie, would that 9-1 be tempting you at all?
I think it would be, yeah. It's quite a fine advance, but I wouldn't have been surprised if he was a digit or two short in the market. I'm just sort of ruining the opportunity. He was available at 33-1 before Royal Ascot, so I find it hard to go back in when I know that price has evaporated. But no, I'd say there's still some juice at nines. I wouldn't put anyone off myself.
Yeah, I don't think you can beat yourself up too much about that. It's hard to tell these things, isn't it? You're not psychic, but I certainly know what you mean. I think anyone would take 33s now and bite your hand off for it. And on that note, we'll take a quick break before we look ahead to some of the action this week.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now, the July Festival has been and gone, but there's still good action to be seen so far this week. On Thursday, it's a decent card at Leopardstown, and the 750 is the Group 3 Meld Stakes. Now, Jim Ball just won 4 of the last 6 renewals of this race. I think he's got Ancient Spirit, who's one of the higher rated in here. Robbie, did you have a spin through this race?
Certainly did, yeah. Good start about Jim Bolger. Dermot World's also won 4 of the last 9, so they tend to be the trainers to focus on. He's got Hazapour entered up. He was actually being odds on in this race last year, though. And he was a little bit flat in the Queen Anne, although he was impressive at Leopardstown the time before. The horse I came down on, though, was probably the most obvious one, Romanized. He looks a better four-year-old. Quite unlucky in the Queen Anne. He was sort of... Yeah, really eye-catching. He was switched wide. The time before that, he ran an excellent race in the Lockinge. He's rated 115. I think if he turns up here, he's definitely the one to beat. An extra furlong, he's never ran over further than a mile, but I see no reason why he wouldn't get that. And yeah, I'd expect a big display before future Group 1 runs.
Yeah, Romanized, he's a real classy angle, isn't he? Binners, don't suppose any betting on this yet, but I presume you've had a look through?
Yeah, no betting on it yet. Maddie, a great statistic from Robbie about Jim Bolger with Ancient Spirit. My worry is that that one has to carry a few pounds more.
Binners. How dare you give Robbie the credit?
I'll take credit for that. Cheers.
Robbie's just so brilliant with the statistics. I automatically thought it was him, but I can only apologise, Maddie.
I'm so terrible with them.
I'm going to go with Robbie. I think Roman Ice is the horse. He's staying on really well in the Queen Anne, and I think the additional furlong will suit as he stayed on really well in the latter stages at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, let's hope he turns up in the race, that's for sure. He gives it a bit of a sparkle, doesn't he? And Mark, who would you be looking at? Aidan O'Brien, obviously, he's got loads in there. Cape of Good Hope, I think, was one towards the top of the ratings. Solid enough performer.
Yeah, I think it's quite difficult to get an exact handle on what we're going to see here. I could see this putting up fairly considerably. I don't know where the Romanized go. They mentioned the pre-Jacques Lemarois for him as the next target, so maybe he'll take this in on the way. But for me now, just one to keep an eye on here, Up Helia, William McCreary's horse, out of Fisalana by Galileo. Fisalana won the matron for William McCreary, the Group 1. And I really thought this was a super, super maiden performance at Gorn. And previously he was second. This horse now take that out of the back of your head. He was such an eye catcher at Cork. And the winner, Brogue, looks promising. Barbados was third, and he's gone on to frank the farm in the Queen's Vase and at Leopardstown since. The way he won suggests that he was a stakes performer in the making. And while this is a step up in class, if he was to take his chance here, I really like him. I think he's a horse in the up. Just worth mentioning that William McCreary, his website, he kind of gives a detailed review of kind of each month. And he mentioned this horse could have gone to Killarney. I think it's tomorrow, the race he had mentioned initially, hasn't been declared for that. So perhaps he could line up here. And Just interesting to see a horse definitely for the future, a real, real promising type.
I like that a lot, yeah, under the radar slightly. On Friday, we've got 2 really interesting contests who have been won by some future stars in the past. The 340 at Newbury is the Irish Thoroughbred Marketing Rose Bowl Stakes. Limato won it in 2014 and Tazleet a year later, so can often be a guide to a good sprinter. Binners, again, no betting, obviously, but it's a race that clearly produces smart types.
It does indeed, Maddie. Yeah, and the one I've come down on is Dream Shot for James Tate and Jamie Spencer. This one was beaten by a horse called Liberty Beach last time in the Dragon Stakes at Sandown. And I was there that night. John Quinn thinks the absolute world of that one. Could go for the Malcolm or possibly a race in France. My selection, Dream Shot, wasn't good enough for the winner, but he was slowly away that day, and I think the extra furlong will help. But I think he could go one better in this.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Liberty Beach, so it'd be interesting to see if that form can be boosted. Robbie, a few others in here. Repartee caught the eye on debut, another smart type, but who caught your eye most in the entries?
Much like yourself, Matty, Repartee caught my eye. And the same connections as Juan Elcano, who is second in the superlative. Kevin Ryan and Shane Mohammed obeyed. The form of his York maiden win hasn't exactly worked out particularly well, but he was so visually impressive, winning by 5 lengths that day. He was really prominent in the Coventry Stakes betting before that race took off. He missed that to allow him a bit more time to develop. It doesn't look a strong listed race for me, and he's definitely the horse I'd favour.
OK. The 8-10 at Hamilton is the other race we're going to have a look at. Won by Defoe in 2017. He's, of course, won the Hardwick and the Coronation Cup this year. So another good race with a guide to the future. It's the British Stallion Studs EBF Glasgow Stakes, a listed race over a mile in three. Some quite really interesting horses engaged here. First in line was one unexposed that I thought was quite interesting. And then we have the more proven horses like Cap Francais, Neff, Road and Getcha, Getcha, Getcha. Mark, I'll go to you for this one. Do you have any sort of strong opinion? It's a bit of a muddling race to sum up at this stage.
Yeah, not one I'd have great confidence about. I like the way first in line to Linkfield, but I'd be lying to you now if I said I was overly bullish, just waiting to see what the final field is like before we can get a handle on it.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's understandable. Robbie, any thoughts?
Yeah, I suppose the standard is set by Nayef Road, who's second in the Bahrain Trophy.
He'd run that,
Spanish
I thought.
Spanish mission. Yeah, you wouldn't be 100% sure he's going to turn up, though, which is the potential fly in the ointment. I was quite interested in the only filly in the lineup, Blue Gardenia. She was sent off 100 to 1 for the Oaks, but she missed the kick that day. And she did quite well. She finished ninth. And the early signs are that the Oaks was a fair renewal. Peachtree was behind her that day. She won a Group 3 last week. Obviously, Medea won in France. Pink Dogwood ran okay in the Pretty Polly. It looks like, yeah, could be up to scratch renewal. And I feel like she might be the type of filly that's underestimated. So if lining up, I'd be quite keen on her chances.
Yeah, she always seems to run well at a big price, doesn't she, Blue Gardenia? What do we think of this Binners?
I just seem to copy Robbie in on these ones, Maddie. I'm going Nayef Road as well. If he turns up, I think he ran a cracker at Peg Porter's and he was very well back that day. To add something myself, I'm not quite sure why the Glasgow Stakes is no longer a derby trial. I used to enjoy it in the past when it was at York. And okay, the Glasgow Stakes is now based in the right country for the Glasgow Stakes, but controversially, I used to enjoy the Glasgow Stakes a hell of a lot more when it was a derby trial.
So we'll take a trip over the Irish Sea then, just before we go to a break, to have a look at the Irish Oaks on Saturday. Mark, you've been out and about and you've got some news on one of the leading contenders today.
Yeah, nothing groundbreaking, but we spoke to Joseph Ryan this morning for a piece that should hopefully be live later on, and Iridesa is likely to line up at the weekend, all been well. After the Pretty Polly, she was very impressive then, I thought. Albeit that the race maybe fell apart just a small bit. Pink Doggo was disappointed and looked as though she might need a little bit of ease in the ground. And some of the leading players didn't really show their best. But I think the step up and trip really helps her. Now, a mile and a half will be unknown territory for her. But she's one to look forward to. She's always had plenty of class about her, even the Phillies mile last year. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how she goes. And obviously tomorrow, I think at 12 o'clock, the supplementary stage ends for entries in the Irish Oaks. So we'll get an idea of the field not long after, please God. But it should be a cracker.
Yeah, it certainly should. Iridesa, a horse I really liked. She disappointed me in the Guineas, but as you say, bounced back in the Pretty Polly last time. Robbie, the big name for a lot of people in here is going to be Hermosa. Big step up in trip. She was disappointing in the Coronation, wasn't she?
I don't know if she was that disappointing. I think she kind of just bumped into one on the day. I still think she's a top-class filly. I've been banging the drum about her stepping up in trip on many of these postcasts in recent months, and I'd still maintain that there could be more to come over a mile and a half.
Degree certainly suggests.
Yeah, exactly. Being a sister to Hydrangea, who showed her best form over a mile and a half. The key piece of form is probably the Pretty Polly run with Iridesa and Pink Dogwood in behind. I probably expect Pink Dogwood to maybe improve past Iridesa over a mile and a half. But yeah, I'd probably have it between those three fillies at this stage.
Okay, understandably, it's sort of Aidan O'Brien, Joseph O'Brien dominated. We'll know more about the final fields, as Mark said, later on in the week. Binners, no betting, but any thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think Robbie has come up with another very good point there. Pink Dogwood was putting a brilliant performance in the Oaks, only just getting touched off by Annapurna. It wasn't a bad performance last time against Iridesa over the mile and two, but back up to a mile and a half, I think Pink Dogwood could be a leading candidate for Aidan O'Brien, who will probably run 3 or 4 in the race, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'd like to see her just win, though. For me, she's had quite a few chances now, and I really thought she should have won that Oaks. So, contrasting views.
A bit unfair, Maddie. Like, you look at her form figures. She's been in the first three, like, 5 of her 6 starts, won a couple, second 3 times. I think you're being slightly unfair on her.
Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I am. I am known to be a bit harsh sometimes, Robbie. Right, that'll do for our chat on the Irish Oaks then. And we'll talk about midweek racing and our fancies for this week just after this break.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this final instalment of the Monday postcast. We're going to look at the midweek racing now, and the Killarney Festival is getting underway this week. Mark, a really lovely little festival in Ireland, and you're going to have a rather special visitor later on this week.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of excitement down in the place they call the Kingdom on Wednesday. Frankie Dettori is a special guest over, and he's expected to have a ride in the Cairn Rouge Stakes, the listed race there. And you know, you never know, he might have other rides in the car as well. But it's a great coup for the track, as has been well publicised. Frankie came to Tralee Racecourse, obviously since those down, but before my time, he came to Tralee, and it created quite a stir when he came. So hopefully he can do similar. And fair play to Killarney and everyone involved in getting him over here. It's been a great coup. So, no, looking forward to it now. I think if he does ride one for Dermot Weld, I'd be interested in seeing if Anya Yelena won at Gorn, really nice now. My Glare filly, I think it's a half sister to Escalove, and maybe close relation to Ji Feng, the one that runs in all those 7 furlong mile handicaps. So yeah, I like the way she did it, I think about 7 weeks ago. And if she lines up and had Frankie on her back, you can be sure that she'll be popular.
Yeah, certainly. What a jockey, and what form he's in, Robbie. I mean, Group 1's left, right and centre, and he's riding at the top of his game, Dettori.
Certainly is, yeah. I know Lee Mottis had wrote in his column yesterday about the idea of Frankie maybe joining back up with Godolphin, which would be quite interesting. I think he's riding as well as he probably ever has before, cleaning up in the Group 1s, and as Mark says, a real coup for Killarney to get him over.
Yeah, certainly. We won't go through the naps just yet, but have you had any sort of looks at the other races this week?
Certainly have, yeah. I'm nipping over to Fairy House for my for a little selection midweek. The 6 furlong maiden, 6:45 on Wednesday. A horse called In the Present, trained by Jesse Harrington, owned by the Niarchos family. Obviously, Jesse's been doing superb with her juveniles this season. Mm. This filly's been quite unlucky not to win a race yet. On her debut, she bumped into Monarch of Egypt. After that, she was 3rd to Ickworth in a listed race. Then she bumped into Etoy in a Group 3. And she's just nabbed ahead a few weeks ago by a well-bred Cornwall filly called A New Dawn. She's officially rated 88, a maiden win is a formality. And looking at the entries, I don't think she'll have much trouble winning this if she turns up.
OK, as you mentioned, Jessica Harrington had definitely trained this keep on side at this time of year, especially with the younger horses. Binners, have you been looking at the Irish action as well?
No, but I've got one at Nottingham tomorrow evening, Maddie. The 8:10, the extended mile fillies handicap. There's a horse called Heavenly Bliss for Sir Michael Stout. David Egan's on board. Bit unlucky last time. Didn't have a clear run 2 furlongs out at Leicester last month, but on her handicap debut, she was only beaten just over 3 lengths. And she was running in. She didn't really perform on the track, but she ran in some good races last year and was sent off favourite on her debut. So maybe she might come good in handicaps eventually.
Yeah, could well happen. Let's get this week's naps now.
This will not be beaten.
I was joking before we went on air, Mark, that we should get you to sing that with your musical talents, but I think Steve Palmer's taken it off your hands for now, so you're off the hook. But what's your nap this week?
Thank God. Bruce strung me up there one day on this. He made me sing it. I was rightly starstruck having to do it with the great Steve blaring out behind. But no, for me, the nap, and I'd be very disappointed if we got beaten on Wednesday at Killarney, travel-wise, rated just 49. Like, this horse, come here, I thought this is out of the blue. I don't know where the run came from at Limerick, but it was serious. He had been off the track since 2017, had ran 3 times in 2017. He was last of 11, beaten 31 lengths, 16th of 18, beaten 19 lengths, and 10 of 13, beaten 14 lengths. So where could you see a really, really eye-catching second coming from? He's gone up 4 pounds, and if he runs at Killarney on Wednesday, I would be highly disappointed if he wasn't banged there, travel-wise.
The Boylan Bank's going to go on travel-wise then. Robbie?
Yeah, also got one at Killarney on the Tuesday, 6:50 mile handicap. Gordon Elliott has a four-year-old running called Monkey Lou. Really eye-catching piece of form at the course last season on tomorrow's card. What happened was he finished fifth to Rianoch, who is a listed filly now rated £20 higher. The fourth home was Offer and Fame, who's won a couple of good handicaps and finished fifth behind Baghdad at Royal Ascot. He's given weight to both that day. He's won over course and distance as well. He's rated 85. I think that looks very workable. He's got Shane Cross taking £5 off of his back as a very classy claimer, and I expect a bold showing.
Confident selections then so far. Binners, throw your hat into the ring.
Never mind the Boylan Bank. The Bank of Binfield's hat has been bitten a few times by Equilateral, but he goes again in the 7:50 at Newmarket on Friday night in the 5 furlong condition stakes. I think he should win this time. He's run well at Newmarket, admittedly on the other course, but they're similar in the Abernant and Palace House stakes. Only done a fag paper by Mabs Cross in the latter. And I think this will set him up nicely for the Numthorpe, for which he's a 16-1 poke.
Yeah, nice little anti-post plug there, Binners. Equilateral, surely a horse that has been a cliff horse for many, but the ability is there for all to see. That's all we've got time for today. Thanks, everyone, for your selections, and best of luck wherever you're betting this week. Please make sure to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us from. As always, Bruce will be back on Friday to preview the weekend's cards, including the Super Sprint at Newbury and the Irish Oaks, which we had a quick look at earlier. And of course, it's the Open as well, so Bruce will be on to previewing that. So keep your eyes peeled. We'll see you soon.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.